try to be understanding of your state.
Well, there's that perfect state, right, of exactly tipsy throughout the entire day that I have.
Well, if you've managed it, then more power to you. Nothing worse than a day over.
You better roll them dice. You never know if it could change your life. Take a chance, you're neither wrong or right. You never know if you don't roll them dice.
Hello, welcome. It's Dungeon Master of None, the Dungeons & Dragons podcast for everyone. I'm Dungeon Master Matt.
I'm Dungeon Master Rob.
How's the gaming life treating you?
It's wonderful, Matt. Though, truth be told, I've been running two campaigns nonstop for, I think, about a year on both of them, which is not unusual, but I'm feeling the need for a possible break. Nothing long, but you know, a couple weeks or a month, and I'm coming up on the end of one of them, as you well know, and that's good. It's a refresher. I'm looking forward to a session or two as a player while I recharge my mental DM batteries. I have some ideas that I haven't had a chance to work on, and I'm excited to spend some time with them. How about you?
Just as a reminder to all of our listeners that we are not professional dungeon masters or in any way brilliant, my last game session just a night or two ago, I got all my miniatures. I got my new fancy dungeon master screen. I loaded everything up in my car. I drove to where we were having the game. I unpacked. We get ready. My players are excited. This is a very eventful episode. They had just completed a sort of an arc. They had killed a big bad guy, and then I look into my backpack and I grab the wrong fucking giant legal manila folder. I grabbed the one for my other game, and so I had none of my notes. Players had none of their character sheets.
Oh no!
And yep, that's how it went.
That's hilarious. I have offloaded the responsibility of managing character sheets to my players in my real life game, which is now fine, but in the past has turned out to be a huge mistake, because on more than one occasion, even though we almost always meet in the exact same spot, they have managed to lose their character sheets. One of my players has lost her character sheet four times. Four separate occasions.
That's about right.
And is not the kind of player who remembers all of her stats off the top of her head. And so I keep a running tally of all her statistics just in case this happens again. So yeah, lesson learned, folks.
You've got to meet your players where you are. And you know, even when that happens, like, it's not a disaster. We sat around and we talked about where we wanted the campaign to go next. I hand-waved a combat encounter that was going to happen because we didn't have any of the stats for anything. I said, and you find some magical loot and some cool things. I don't remember their exact stats, but they're like this. And then what is it that you want to do? And I mean, we basically played the game for an hour and a half before we switched to board games, just going over what the players wanted to do and how they wanted to respond to various, you know, factions and NPCs in the campaign. So we salvaged something from it, but I was very embarrassed and sad.
And remember, it is okay to ad lib. What Matt just said about, you know, the magic items is something I actually do all the time, because I'm terrible at taking notes, and I'll have them in three or four different places, and I'll remember what it's called. I'll say, you know, you'll get a mace, and it looks like this, but I misplaced the stats, so ask me about it at the end. Ask me about it before next session, and by then I'll have found it, and usually they don't need it right away, but that's okay. Being prepared is best. But being able to ad lib and, you know, setting reasonable expectations for your players is just as good.
Being a dungeon master is being like water. You've got to flow.
You got to flow.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here? Letting the days go by. Let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by. Water flowing under into the blue again. After the money's gone. Once in a lifetime.
Let's talk about our main topic for today. We wanted to do something a little fun and crunchy, and Matt and I were thinking about this because we talked about Eberron and Dark Sun and other settings not too long ago, and there are a couple of iconic classes that are related to both those settings, and they are the, for Eberron, the Artificer, which is with the Mage Rite sort of key to the economy of the world, and the Mystic for Dark Sun, which is a critical part of the lore and functioning of that world. So Matt, you want to take this away with talking a bit about the Mystic?
Yeah, the Mystic is the first, or I guess the second new class that Wizards of the Coast has floated for 5th edition. And, a lot of people in the community really like that Wizards has gone a different route with 5th edition. In earlier editions of Dungeons & Dragons and lots of other games, they've just sort of piled on new class after new class, and eventually everything becomes too complicated to really play or work, and people begin to complain, but they've taken the most conservative approach, which we've had no new classes released for 5th edition so far. Mystic, along with Artificer, seem to be their suggested new classes that they maybe will release.
And they're very much still in the playtesting area, and as far as we know, will be for quite some time. There have been some rumors that they're going to start working on Eberron this year and Dark Sun next year or the year after, but that's still quite some time. And to be fair, the Artificer and the Mystic both need a lot of work, but they do fill interesting niches, right?
Right.
So the Mystic is based off of previous psionic classes. And
the Scion, mostly.
Mostly the Scion, though it does seem to be all of them sort of mashed into one.
Right.
Which is kind of an issue. You're more familiar with Dark Sun, and I think you've played more Scions and psionic characters than I have. So what's good and what's bad about the Mystic? Let's start there, and then we'll transition to the Artificer a little bit later.
So the basic idea behind psionics is it's like an alternative magic system. Magic of the mind, telekinesis, mental manipulation, the things that like mind flayers get and stuff like that. And it's been with Dungeons & Dragons since 2nd edition and 3rd edition and 4th edition all had psionics. And, it's usually open to the Dungeon Master's interpretation whether psionics is just one type of magic, kind of like a wizard's magic or a cleric's magic, or it's its own thing in particular. The 5th edition Mystic is, I think, an interesting take on the class, and it's absolutely, and I think this is why they're working on it, something like the Mystic or a psionic class is absolutely essential if Wizards ever wants to release 5th edition materials for a campaign like Dark Sun or some of the other campaigns where psionics is really central to the plot and story of the game.
In theory, mechanically and functionally, is a little bit different than, say, a wizard or a sorcerer.
Right.
Psionics are traditionally more bursty. You have a little bit more control over the rate at which that you put out damage or effects because you can burn more or less power points. Which is both good and bad. If you run games as intended, if you have a bunch of encounters during a day, then generally, traditionally, psionics are balanced by going through the resources more quickly, but they can do some pretty impressive spiky stuff, which often causes players to think that they are overpowered. And not wrongly so, a properly built Mystic, as it stands right now, can do all sorts of things, and in certain cases overshadow other classes more than one at a time too. So in theory it's an important lore consideration, but it's also mechanically flavorful, different way to play. In the past, psionics has never really been perfectly balanced with traditional classes, but it's been a fun addition, and usually they play pretty well together.
Right, like Wizards and earlier publishers of Dungeons & Dragons have always sort of taken the track that psionics is different enough that it gets its own system from spell casting, right? In 5th edition D&D, you have spells that you either know or prepare, and you can cast them and you use up spell slots. And in Psionics, you have points, right, that you can spend on different powers to either boost your character or hurt enemies or help your allies. What they've released so far, right, the 5th edition Mystic, is, I wouldn't say it's overpowered in the sort of straight-up sense that a Mystic character is going to outshine every other character in your party, but it just doesn't quite work with everything they have. And, I think multi-classing is basically the thing that says this Mystic will never work with the way it's set up with the other classes, right? As long as characters can multi-class, there's got to be some really structural changes to the way the Mystic works.
The other major problem that I have with the Mystic is that it is far and away the most rules-dense and complicated class ever to have been released by Wizards. And to be fair, I don't think they have any intention of letting it go to print anywhere near this state, but as it stands, it is incomprehensible. There are more options for the Mystic than there are for any two or three other classes combined. You can build five or six or seven different types of characters easily and not even touch all of the possible options.
So I think Rob's hit on, we've now hit on all the three main problems with the Mystic. One, if you have the Mystic, there's, for a lot of classes, for example, Rogue, there's no mechanical reason for a character to not take at least one level of Mystic, right? I was playing a Rogue in a campaign right now. There's no reason why, if Mystic was available, I wouldn't take one level of it next level, because the things you can do as a Rogue, if you have access to even first level Mystic powers, are above and beyond what a Rogue could do normally. The second is, the class document, as they've released it with no art, is 28 pages long, which is really fucking long. This is different because all of the what would normally be spells are included in the class document, which Wizards went the route. Mystics don't really have spells in earlier editions. Scions and other similar classes had powers that were the functional exact equivalent of spells. They went in the back of the book. You had to go look them up. That kind of thing. They went a different route with that, but it makes the class way too long. And then Rob hit on the third and final thing, is that a Mystic can basically be anything, right? When you have a Barbarian, you know he's going to be strong and can take a lot of punishment. When you have a Sorcerer, you know that they can cast a lot of spells every day. When you have a Cleric, you know that they can heal things. A Mystic could be any or all of those.
So what would you do differently, Matt? How would you change the Mystic? And how have you changed the Mystic? Because I know that you're running or thinking about running some games where Psionics does play a part.
I think there's a number of options here. You could go with a full rework. I think this is perhaps the safest and most conservative way, is if you reworked all of the different talents and psi points and things like that back down to traditional spells. The spell slot mechanic, which every single caster in the game uses right now, is, in my experience as a DM, pretty easy for players to get a handle on. If you go to something like that, it'll be super easy.
Is that what you're inclined to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, because the sort of idea of a scion is maybe it's slightly different than magic. So making it exactly the same as other spellcasting classes would definitely take away some of the uniqueness of it and the sort of fiddliness of it, but it would certainly make it simpler. I think another option is to take the Mystic class and break it into, really there's only two things when I kind of really think about it that a psionic or a Mystic can do. One is the more kind of wizard or sorcerer type things, where you cast lots of spells, you can control the battlefield, you can control people's minds, you hurt people with your mind, or you enhance yourself. If you separate those two, basically into a scion and a psychic warrior, the class becomes a million times more straightforward and simple.
That's my inclination too, if I were going to run this, is I would try to divide the Mystic into at least two classes, if not three. I know exactly why Wizards doesn't want to do that. But trying either the Psychic Warrior and Soul Knife stuff needs to just be cut, and they need to just make it a Scion and add that other stuff later, or they need to divide it into other classes, in my opinion, to make it really make sense and to work.
There is precedent for this. The Warlock sort of picks their pact of whatever, a blade, a tome, a chain, right? And this sort of is pretty defining for a Warlock, and it tells us whether they're going to be a more kind of like a fighter, kind of like a wizard, kind of like someone who just shoots things a lot. And I think you could do that with the Mystic while still keeping it one class, where you pick a subclass at level one that tells you, are you going to be a Psychic Warrior? Are you going to be more like a Scion? Or are you going to be like a sneaky mind messy with roguish type thing? And that I think would work. And that would, you basically knock a lot of what's in all these options into the subclasses, and then you maybe have a nice list of spells that are available to all at the end.
I think that works. I'm interested to see where Wizards goes with the playtesting. It has been in playtest for, I think, well, actually that's interesting.
A year,
but there was an initial release, and there's been at least one, maybe two separate releases since then. They revised the Mystic already. I think they're sticking with the one that they've got. But yeah, it's been in playtest for close to a year, and it could almost certainly use additional playtesting. So we'll see what sort of data they get back and what sort of changes that they make, because some of the playtest materials have come to print basically unchanged, and a lot of it has been changed. So I'm interested. We obviously have some ideas about what could be done differently, but, you know, until we know more about what Wizards wants to do, then it's all just sort of guesswork.
My idiot dog locked himself inside my room.
Last thoughts on the Mystic.
I think there's a lot of ways Wizards could take this class. There's a lot of fun to be had here. I think, you know, it's essential to have this class to play something like Dark Sun. I think if they made it more in line with Wizard, Sorcerer, Warlock, where anyone can really pick it up and play it from level one and learn the class as they go, that's probably the best bet, considering every other 5th edition class lets you do that. So that's sort of the direction I hope they go in, while sort of still keeping some things that a Mystic can do that other spellcasting classes can't.
I definitely think that there's a way to bring this in line with 5th edition. It just may have to be a lot simpler, like most of 5th edition's classes are. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So maybe what will happen is Wizards will heavily cull the options, which would be bad for some, but it probably fine in the long run. So we'll just see what happens. But I'm excited about what's been released so far. It's a fun class to play. It does provide a lot of neat options, so I do hope that it makes it to print and soon.
No one likes keeping track of how many psi points they have out of 70. That's my personal opinion.
Matt's correct. Make those simple. I really hate. Come on. I really hate PowerPoints, but you know, whatever. All right, let's talk about the other thing that we wanted to talk about, which is the second of the two classes that Wizards has released, and that is the Artificer. And this is one that is near and dear to my heart, because as we've talked about before, I love to run games in Eberron. I love the Eberron campaign setting. I also, as of late, have become a big fan of sort of, I don't know, I'm going to call it Magitech, Magipunk type stuff. You know, the Eberron type worlds where you extrapolate what it would be like, how society and technology would advance if magic were real. And the Artificer is sort of the embodiment of that. They're in Eberron and in high magic settings, a sort of critical part of the economy and a critical part of the world, because they're the ones that can manipulate magic items in the most concrete and dexterous way.
Right. And I think what philosophically, at least from earlier editions, what distinguishes the artificer from a, let's say, wizard, which sounds on the surface pretty simpler, is like an artificer is a magical hacker, right? They have the tools and the smarts, maybe not the depth of knowledge that the wizard has and fundamental understanding of the nature of the cosmos that a wizard has, but they can make little shortcuts to get things done for a little while using, basically two sticks rubbing them together, right, to create a fire, that kind of thing.
Right, they're magical.
But with magic.
Yeah, they're magical MacGyvers. They're inventors and tinkerers, and, you know, they jerry-rig magic items to do things, so they get a little bit of extra juice out of their wand.
Oh, yes, I often get an extra juice out of my wand. That's at least what my players say.
Jesus.
Excuse me.
It's a fun class to play in a high magic setting where you have a lot of magic and magical items to work with. Which brings me to... So Wizards has released... It was one of the first... It was an early... No, that's not true. I'm sorry.
They released it as a subclass of the wizard, which they realized didn't work.
It was a very boring and unimpressive subclass of wizard. So they released much later an actual class, which is, I'm sorry to say, pretty underwhelming. But it does
Whereas the Mystic has like some interesting options, it might be balanced, it's exciting to play and super fun. The Artificer is none of those things, right?
Right. So the Artificer has two subclasses that play... So this is good, I think, generally. The Alchemist and the Gunsmith, and they play radically different. And just based on the names, I'm sure you can imagine what the distinctions are. But the problem... So there's a lot of problems. First and foremost, there's very little in the base Artificer class to be excited about. Most of the core abilities relate to using magic items. Things like you can attune four magic items instead of three. Am I getting that right?
That's about right.
Five instead
whatever.
Of four.
Whatever. Refuse to look things up.
One more. That's right. That's against the ethos of the podcast. Don't look things up. Either way, it's one more than everybody else can attune. Good. Not great.
Sure.
You get some free magic items. The list is pretty unimpressive. Good. Not great. They get some... And this is weird. They get limited spell casting, and I think they're the only... There's something unique about it. I think
their spell casting is like on par and maybe even worse than the Eldritch Knight or the Arcane Trickster.
Yeah.
Two classes, Rogue and Fighter, which have a million other things to do besides spell casting, right?
Yeah, their spell casting is about on par with a Paladin or a Ranger or an Eldritch Knight. They don't even get cantrips, which is just... They should at least get, like, Mending, right? That's a cantrip.
Right, Mending is a cantrip, and if anything, the one spell the Artificer should have.
Right. The spell list is small and limited, and they do get infusions that they can hand out to other players, but it's highly limited. And it's very obvious that Wizards is, with all of these things, making sure that they don't make anything that's overpowered. And of course, I respect their desire to do so, but they have, in my opinion, played way too conservatively with the Artificer.
Well, before we talk about how to fix it, I'd like to talk about the flavor of the Artificer, right?
Oh, yes.
So the idea of the Artificer, especially as it relates to Eberron, is that an Artificer is exactly what you said, a magical MacGyver. They are the one who, even maybe more than a wizard, right, can come up with a solution to not every problem, but a lot of problems, right? They can quickly get a spell for that, right? Especially like low-level utility spells that might fix a certain situation. Oh, I can get see invisibility goggles out of my sack, or pull out some glitter dust, or imbue your boots with spider climb so you can walk over this trap, right? They're a magical MacGyver. And right now, they're really fucking bad at that. And the two specialists, the Alchemist and the Gunsmith, also I would not allow either of those specialists in Eberron, because in Eberron, magic has replaced both chemistry and firearms, right? You don't have a gunsmith, you have wand slingers. You don't have alchemists, you have just people who use real magic. And so it gets that wrong. It's a weird mixing of science and magical hacking instead of just straight up magical hacking.
Right. The ideal artificer has played in the past, you know, hands out a buff to the fighter, boosts up his magical weapon or makes his armor a little bit better, and then, you know, fires off some rounds from his wand of magic missiles, and then he'll, you know, he'll cast a spell or do a little bit of regular combat. You know, it's very much like, I guess, a bard in that respect, in that they have a lot of different tools to address a lot of different situations, except it's based on having the right magical tool rather than just being able to address it inherently. And as it stands with the wizard's version, you're pigeonholed into being an, like Matt said, an alchemist who has lots of tools but of a specific type, or a gunsmith, which is basically a fancy fighter with some magical ability. And not only are these weak, but the flavor is just, it's just, folks, it's just not good.
It's game breaking in a way that I really hate, in that, like, oh, you're an artificer. You've created this magical gun. Can you hand it to me so I can shoot this person? No, you can't. Oh, you're an alchemist. You can create cool potions. Can you hand me one so I can use it tomorrow? No, you can't. Why not? Well, the balance.
Balance.
But yeah. It also doesn't make sense according to the world we're all pretending to play in.
It's much too gamey, and it's weak, and so there's another structural problem, and that's that for a class that relies on magical items,
the rare magic item problem of 5th edition rears its head again.
In 5th edition, having a class that relies on magic items is just sort of tricky. Because if a big part of your power comes from being able to equip one more or use things that you wouldn't normally be able to use, then, you know, as a DM, you're having to work a lot harder to make your artificer feel useful. And as an artificer, your options are limited. And this is sort of abundantly clear when you look at the list of items that they can make themselves, which is a cool and neat thing that artificers can do and have traditionally been able to do. And the list is just sort of meh. You don't get anything particularly powerful until 10th level, and the item that you can create isn't anywhere near as good as something that you'll have found already. And, you know, that's a balance issue, and there are considerations, but I don't think that giving an artificer, as they're balanced now, a disproportionately powerful magic item would really make that much of a difference, and it would balance the class a little bit better.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, so I think we're ready to move on to how we could approach fixing the artificer and what we would like to see in a released, published artificer version.
You know, the main thing comes, there's a lot to fix.
Oh, I think the main thing is they need 9 levels of spellcasting.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Okay, they need more spellcasting.
That's basic. I mean, the artificer should be a spellcaster. If a bard gets 9 levels of spells, an artificer does too.
I think I gave them 6 in my rewrite, but 9 levels would make perfect sense, and there's no reason not to give it to them. They should also get cantrips, just a much more expanded spell list. This is the first thing that I did to make them more useful, is give them a lot more spells to work with than they had before. Right. So that's the easy number one thing to do.
Basically, an artificer should get any and every spell that is utility or could be conceivably cast instead of on a person on a magic item, right?
Exactly right.
So all the utility, all the things that you could cast on a person, right? What I would do is, I think there are a couple things in the basic class that seem pretty powerful that you could knock off as it stands, like mechanical servant. Is that something every artificer is going to have? Also, does it have to be mechanical? Can it be magical? Can it be a homunculi? Anyway, I would also, basically, as we decided, the guiding ethos of artificer is a magical hacker. They hack with magic instead of technology. Is that they should have the ability to, on the fly or maybe with a little bit of preparation, like 10 minutes or something, create small magic items that maybe only last a couple hours, right? They should be able to scribe scrolls of low-level spells, brew potions or infuse potions with magic, or create small single-charge wands, right, that they can use once. So lots of low... So 5th edition has rare magic items, but, you know, depending on your campaign... scrolls of that you can read and cast spells through, or potions or wands, are in fact probably way more common, and artificers should be able to make at least temporary things of those.
Just a greater control of magic. As it stands right now, artificers aren't actually particularly good at magic, and that's just preposterous, and there's no reason for that. The other thing that I would do is that, so right now, it, you know, Mechanical Servant is an option. It's their 5th level option, and the idea and balance is generally okay, but not every artificer wants a Mechanical Servant. So give them choices there. In my game, I have allowed artificers to create magical armor, get a magical servant, or create a sort of focusing device to improve their magical spellcasting.
Perfect.
And the balance isn't exactly right there, but it provides options for different styles of play without pigeonholing you into something like Alchemist or Gunsmith.
It blows my mind that Wizards of the Coast, the same company that very clearly lets you make any class in the game without having something else to keep track of, because not everyone wants a companion creature, would then create the artificer where you're locked into that.
I've also expanded the artificer's ability to hand out buffs and improve magical items, which is what Matt just talked about. That's really, to me, that's always been the core of the class. That and better use of rods and wands and of other magical items. And if you really what I think you should just do, or what should be done to both improve the flavor and the general play of the class, is just really focus on that. Let the artificer tweak magical items a lot more flexibly, allow them to hand out buffs a lot better, allow them to manipulate items and magic a lot more freely, and that's all you really need to do. And that would set it apart. It still sets it apart from the wizard and the sorcerer, but it you know, keeps it theoretically in the right power level.
Like, I will know they've made a good artificer playtest or class when I can look at it and see two things. One, does the flavor fit with a GM or a campaign world that doesn't want to have guns or fancy chemistry, right, that just wants to have magic? So can they be a straight magical hacker without having to invent the world's first flintlock rifle? Or, and two, can an artificer out-utility my wizard? Right, if a wizard is more useful in a pinch when they have the correct spells prepared than an artificer, then the artificer probably still needs some work.
The artificer should have a magical toolkit full of all sorts of things that they can use in a pinch to address interesting and challenging situations. And it's until they get that right. And this is, to be fair, this is a tall order. The artificer in 5th edition or 3.5 was potentially extremely overpowered.
It was also really complicated and hard to understand.
Yeah, tall order, and we get it that the Wizards probably doesn't want to have a repeat of the way that it was in 3.5. But it was such an interesting class, and it was such a unique class, that the way that it's been presented right now really feels like just not quite good enough, in my opinion.
So what we're saying to you Wizards or anyone working on this playtest is, one, the Mystic too unique. Dial it back, yes, buddy.
Dial it back. Well, too much.
Yeah, okay. Artificer not unique enough.
Yeah.
I mean, when we say it like that, it sounds stupid, but I think that's actually what we're saying.
That is exactly what we're saying. We're looking for, you know, in terms of general design, something in the middle of what they've done with both of them. And to be fair, we love most of what Wizards have done, and we're pretty happy with the classes as they are. We just have strong opinions, and... would like, you know, them to be acknowledged. Is that so much to ask?
It is a lot to ask. And I mean, if these two, the fact that they've playtested these classes has kept us Dark Sun and Eberron fan people sort of on the hook that, yes, they are going to eventually try and put these other campaign settings out there. And you've got to have them. You've got to have both of these for either of those campaign settings.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you can't have either campaign setting without one of these classes. And so there's a lot riding on it, and there's been a lot of playtesting, so we will continue to loudly shout our feedback, see what comes out.
Did you have any memorable artificers in your any of the campaigns you've run? I've definitely had one.
I have too. I think it's almost a requirement for an Eberron campaign to have a memorable artificer. They're such a key part of any party.
I feel like I had a player. Yeah, okay. I had a player who had a Warforged artificer whose name was just Magic, and he didn't talk very much. But he had figured out how to basically not only buff all of the party, but then out damage everyone else with like a blasting rod that had been super enhanced. And he was always like messing with elemental bindings on things. He definitely derailed more than one lightning rail on the way from Fairhaven to Sharn.
Yeah, there's one in my campaign right now who's a newer player and doesn't always grasp the full utility of the artificer, but every now and then he'll have just an incredible round where, you know, everything goes exactly right and he's buffed everybody and his blasting rod rolls all sixes on all 10 of his dice or whatever, and he, you know, blows a huge chunk out of something, and it's a very rewarding character for him to play, and it's a fun one to have in the campaign. Obviously these are flavorful, exciting classes that you know, can be campaign defining, and so we just want to make sure that they are well represented.
That's final right. Thoughts. I would say final thoughts is check out our website. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to put up my version of the Mystic.
If you check the homebrew section of our website, I've actually already put up my adjusted version of the Artificer. It is
hell yeah.
Not as much as I would like, I tried to keep it as close to the Wizards version as possible, which limited me some, yeah, because my player had already begun.
Crazy.
Well, my player had already begun to play using the Artificer playtest, and so I didn't want to confuse him too much. There are some other more ambitious rewrites of the Artificer that I think get closer to what should happen, but this one's pretty easy for players to pick up and work with. So take a look, dmofnone.com/homebrew. And yeah, you can see right that there. And then Matt will put up his Mystic. And we, of course, welcome feedback. So if you're listening and you have ideas, let us know, because we are not experts in any stretch of the imagination. And we're always interested in hearing other ideas and how to make these better. So let us know.
I'm an expert when I remember to bring all my fucking notes to the actual game I'm playing.
You know. Professional
and character
experts.
Sheets.
Well, thanks for listening to us babble about the Mystic and the Artificer. We really hope that you got something out of this. Like I said before, please send us feedback. Please share your ideas. Let us know if you've seen like a really cool rewrite. And we will talk to you next time, adventurers. This is Rob signing out.
Ta-ta.
Between the gall and the gumption, between feeling and touching, I've been walking the fine line between the thought and the action, slipping sideways and